Good morning, everybody. Glad you're with us on this sunny Friday post-election morning for the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. As always, Jed Dietz from the Maryland Film Festival joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Anne Hornaday, the film critic for the Washington Post, is here as well, and we are awfully glad about that. Good to see you, Anne.
Thank you.
So, Jed, let's start with a couple of things before we talk about some movies. The Maryland Film Festival is collaborating with Maryland Institute College of Art and Hopkins to renovate the historic Parkway Theater in Station North, on North Avenue. You're going to have a center for film and production and film study, that kind of thing. And you've received a big grant to help get that project off the ground.
Yeah, it's an amazing grant that really Ron Daniels at Hopkins went after. And it's from an international, a great international foundation called the Stavros Niarchos Foundation. They've done a bunch of big projects in Greece and Europe. They've done some cultural stuff in New York City. This is the first cultural gift in Baltimore, and it's it means we're going to be able to open this building with these three screens and bring in more movies to Baltimore for audiences that follow us by 2016. So by the fall of 2016. So it's
good. So give us a quick thumbnail sketch of what's going to be in this building. You got three screens, 600 some seats or something.
Yeah. So the biggest screen is the old Parkway Theater, which was one of the important movie palaces in America. It opened in 1915. So, 12 years before they were talking movies even. And it was a movie palace all the way through 1978 when it closed. And then there will be two smaller screens, roughly 100 seat capacity. So we'll have 600 seats total in the building. Just to give you some comparison, that's about half the size of the Charles. Mm-hmm. And it's across the street from 10 East North, which is being developed by Jubilee, and the fast expanding film programs from both MICA and Hopkins will go in that building. So the production and classroom work and all that stuff will be at 10 East North in the old center building, and we will be exhibition space for them. So there will be a flow back and forth along that block of North Avenue that hasn't existed before and will fit in beautifully to this great arts district that artists started building before it was called an arts district.
Yeah, and Baltimore is going to become a better and better place to study film, to think about film, and to work in film.
That's great. Absolutely.
And Anne Hornaday, speaking of studying film and working in film, one of the great lights of the film community in Baltimore passed away recently, Michael Schamburg.
Indeed.
Tell us about him.
Yeah, Michael Schamburg was a wonderful filmmaker who was from Baltimore, sort of made his bones in New York in the early 80s when he had studied art at the Art Institute in Philadelphia, moved to New York, and became involved with the band New Order from Manchester, England, and became very important in their enterprise in terms of producing their music videos. He introduced them to filmmakers like Jonathan Demme and Catherine Bigelow, who made videos for the band. I met Michael in the late 1990s. He had moved back to Baltimore to help his elderly parents, and he had also made a film called Souvenir. He had made it in Paris with the likes of Kristin Scott Thomas and Christina Ricci and Stanton Miranda, his leading lady. It played here at the Charles, and I got to know Michael around that and got to know him, both him and Miranda. And he's just a wonderful guy, a great putterer-togetherer of artists of all stripes, not just filmmakers. And he was just one of those catalyst-like figures who will be really, really missed.
Yeah. That's great. And you knew him pretty well as well, Jack.
Yeah, he'd been on our screening committee. He had helped us get to various films and was always had a great view of the film internationally, the film world. And most amazingly, after he got sick, and he was tragically sick for quite a while and really fought hard. I mean, incredible struggle. And he would come to movies. He hosted some movies when he was pretty physically compromised. He was a real spirit.
Indefatigable. I mean, I think one of the last times I saw him was at the National Gallery of Art, where his Souvenir screened, and along with another French film a couple of years ago. And he was just an inspiration to everyone he encountered.
All right, well, let's talk about a few movies that are in the current rotation at various places. Citizen Four is now out. This is the Laura Poitras movie about Edward Snowden. You've seen it. Both you guys have seen it. Jed, what do you think?
It's an extraordinary movie. I don't think I've ever seen a documentary that is literally chronicling a story as it's unfolding. So you're sort of right there as people are thinking out what their next move is and what to do. And Laura Poitras, this filmmaker, we've had two of her films at the festival, My Country, My Country, which was nominated for Academy Award, and The Oath. And she has this amazing ability to get people to trust her, which is one of these essential ingredients for a great documentary filmmaker, and reveal things that they want to reveal.
And we should remind folks that Edward Snowden was in touch. Ms. Poitras was part of this story.
She was the first person he contacted. Right. He tried to get to Glenn first because he wanted a journalist to help him think out how to do this, how to disclose what he wanted to disclose. Unlike Julian Assange or the Bradley Manning dump of stuff in the WikiLeaks case, Edward Snowden wanted to be very careful about what he revealed. He had a mission to let people know there was much more surveillance going on after 9/11 than anybody had any idea or anybody in the government was admitting. And he just wanted, as a democracy, people to think about it because there's no protection built in. You know, there's no courts, there's nothing. It's just being surveyed. We're being surveyed. But he wanted to do it carefully. He's 29 years old when you see him in this movie, and he didn't know how to do it. He knew what kind of information he had, and so he wanted journalists to help him. And Glenn said he just couldn't communicate with him because it had to be encrypted and all this stuff. So that stopped, and there's really no communication. And he found Laura through her films, and she thought he was some CIA guy trying to get into her computer because she'd been harassed as she was making her films, her first two films. And in this part of the trilogy, she and Glenn go to Hong Kong. They don't know this guy's name. They don't really know who he is. And you see all this on camera. You see them meet each other. You see them think out what he wants to do. And however you feel about Snowden and what he's done, I think you can't come out of this film unimpressed by the effort, at least, he's trying to make. And mm-hmm. and the film as entertainment is stunning.
Yeah, I mean, and as a movie, exactly. I mean, this is quite a movie. I mean,
it's a real-time spy thriller. I mean, it has all the trappings of John le Carré, including when they meet, you know, the little tells that he tells, you know, like, you'll know me by the boutonniere in my collar kind of a thing.
The Rubik's Cube.
But really, it's just the way that she sort of keeps it in this hotel room, this claustrophobic hotel room where they're all trapped for 8 days together while he tells his story to a Guardian reporter, and they're all feeling each other out. And it, as Jed said, regardless of how you feel about him, it's just essential viewing in terms of the issues that it raises and the insights that it provides about his motivations and his behavior.
All right, Citizen Four. Do we know where it is?
It's at
the Charles Theater. Okay, here in Baltimore. That's great. There's another one called Laggies. This is one of these that's described by the filmmakers as a quarter-life crisis. but we've got Lynn Shelton as the director, Keira Knightley, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Sam Rockwell starring in this movie.
This is a 28-year-old played by Keira Knightley, who is at the opposite end of the spectrum from Edward Snowden. She has no clue who she is or what she's doing. She said she would get married and then sort of understands she's really a teenager. She doesn't know anything. And it's this, Lynn Shelton's this wonderful filmmaker, and she did not write this. She often works in very improvisatory style. She did Your Sister's Sister, and Hump Day. And she's been at the festival a bunch of times, and it's a totally charming. I think it's one of the great pieces of work that Keira Knightley's done. Very light, very small, but fun to see.
And I want to put a plug in for Sam Rockwell. I thought he was just a revelation. And I mean, he's always been a fascinating actor to watch. I'm not sure I would ever have called him a romantic leading man until this movie, because he is H.O.T. hot,
nice.
Ladies and gentlemen. Take that under advisement.
Good to hear. there's a movie called The Theory of Everything. I guess, Jed, you had some screenings of this that were sort of oversold, but James Marsh is the director of this. He's very well known for that terrific documentary, Man on Wire. And Theory of Everything is about Stephen Hawking, the great physicist, and the relationship between Mr. Hawking and his wife.
Yeah. And this opens in a couple of weeks at the Charles. It's a story about romance. I mean, one of the parties in the romance is this incredible thinker and cosmologist, Stephen Hawking, who we've known. But it's so much focused on them falling in love and then him being diagnosed with ALS, and which is fatal, and you know, and they think will kill him in 2 years, which is the normal path. And you know, it's about the struggle of people who care very deeply about each other, also with careers, but really trying to figure this relationship out. And it's a pretty remarkable movie made by a documentary filmmaker working in fiction for the first time. I mean, the story is based on truth, but it's all scripted and actors and mm-hmm. stuff. And the actors are extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, this is already obviously getting Oscar buzz for Eddie Redmayne's performance, because as a physical performance, it's absolutely astonishing. But Felicity Jones, who plays his wife, Jane, I think, you know, the way the story is structured in terms of her point of view and her own selfhood coming, you know, she's not the traditional helpmeet, you know, and self-sacrificing good wife to this genius. I mean, it has that kind of trapping of the great man theory of cinema, but it subverts it. And I think the filmmaking, just the pure cinema, the visual expression of it is absolutely gorgeous, especially in that final 20 minutes. I think Marsh just does something so meaningful and poetic that really lifts it from the conventional biopic.
And of course, Mr. Hawking is just such an interesting figure anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, just he's the guy you sort of want to know about, you know, so I can imagine it's really fun to sort of get inside
it
and see
is.
What his life is like.
Yeah, it really is.
There's another movie out that I know, like so many things, absolutely nothing about, called Whiplash. What's that about?
Well, this is.
I take it this was neither of your favorites.
No, this, and we're in the very tiny minority, because this has gotten huge critical response starting at Sundance. It was a huge hit at Sundance. I think it's.
Tell us what it's about.
It's about a young jazz drummer, aspiring jazz drummer, who's at the great. It's fictional, but the great music school, and he gets into the great jazz band in the school. That is conducted and run by J.K. Simmons is the actor who plays a character named Terrence Fletcher, who's this great jazz man. And he's the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket. That's the character. He's a beast. You know, he's a total monster. There have been horrible consequences coming from his methodology of teaching. And I think what it says about music is not much.
But Anne, you take this off your list as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the performances were impressive, and the music, when you can hear it over his yelling and abusive, sadistic language, it's gorgeous. But I had deep reservations.
Music
about
and
it.
Sadism, I know a little bit about that.
As a conductor. Your biopic.
All right, well, we'll see if you like it, Tom.
Well, Jed Dietz, Anne Hornaday, always a pleasure. We shall see you next month.
Thank you.